Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield B2B conference call. We host this call the first Monday of each month, and it's designed specifically to assist our associates that are interested in working the business solution side of Legal Shield. Tonight's call is now 1 hour earlier than before, so I hope everyone has gotten the word on the time change. Also, our usual 9 p.m. team conference call has now been permanently moved to 8 p.m. so as to not interfere with the Legal Shield Ladies of Justice call that's at 9 p.m. So hopefully everyone got that message. We've texted and we've sent it out and got the message out as best as we could. But, again, some people do fall through the cracks. Try to encourage your team to be aware of the new different time periods that we're going to be having our conference call. But now to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, I'm going to go out to Boise, Idaho, and to a $100,000 ring earner and an executive director, a top executive director on our team, Mr. Damian Sheever. Damian, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, fantastic. I got to tell you, it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to be on the More Success Team call, but it's an honor and a privilege to introduce our guest speaker tonight, Mr. Aaron Kreft, who's been on my team for 6 years, I want to say, a little over 6 years maybe, has been in Performance Club every month that he's been part of the team, which is always exciting. But what really makes Aaron Kreft a true treasure is that he performs everything that he performs in the B2B arena. He's been a field trainer. He's, you know, earned incentive trips to various, you know, exotic destinations that we've gone to. But what makes him a true treasure in the B2B arena is that he is able to do what he does in very small buckets of time on a part-time basis, because even today he is a full-time pilot. And, you know, as you can imagine, a full-time pilot doesn't have a normal 8-to-5 schedule or anything like that. You know, he flies when the airline needs him to, or when his bosses need him to, whatever the deal is. And so part-time, when we say you can do this business part-time, I know it's true because of everything Aaron Kreft has accomplished with Legal Shield. Part-time basis, he's literally made well over six figures cumulatively in his career, and that's just super exciting that you can have someone part-time pursue, even in the B2B arena, pursue a career with Legal Shield. And so, Aaron, thank you so much for being part of the team. Thank you for being the example that you are and for everything you do, and I just appreciate you so much, and I'll turn the time over to you, sir.
Thank you, Damian. I appreciate that very flowery, overly generous, but introduction. I certainly wouldn't be here today without Mr. Sheever's guidance, and certainly guidance from those of you on the More team as well. Many of you on the call are mentors and have been for years, and I just appreciate who you are as people, you know, an example in your personal lives as well as in your business. And I really think the one thing that does set us apart with the More team is the priorities that we have. We have them in line. Family comes before business, and God becomes, you know, our pillar on everything we do. And I just really want to say a shout out to the leadership of this team, because from the top down, it really is a good, good, solid group of people to be associated with. And I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you. That said, I do want to just give you a real quick outline of what I was asked to speak about this evening. And I certainly will allow some time at the end of our discussion for questions. I'm certainly open to that. I'm a very humble person. Of course, I haven't been able to make Legal Shield a full-time adventure in my life yet. I have this little addiction that I suffer, and that's the aviation bug that I've had since I first started flying when I was 14 years old. So one of these days, I'll be able to combine them a little better, and who knows, maybe I'll end up flying around the executives from the More team, and we can go do enrollments together. Anyway, that said, Stephanie asked me to talk about initial contact and how to approach groups, then how to proceed with a follow-up, and hints and tips about moving through that efficiently. And finally, I'm moving on to the next step, which is ultimately scheduling and conducting the enrollment, which is our, you know, interim finish line, if you will. So with that said, I'll go ahead and just get started right away here. First thing I want to talk about is my mentor, my most immediate mentor in this business, has a goal of 4,000 applications this year. Mr. Rob Vest is obviously, as we all know, the top producer in the company on a fairly consistent basis. And Rob's keys to doing what he does is not something I'm going to get into in detail in this discussion, but I will say that one of the things he consistently treats his business as is it is a very legitimate way to replace your job on your own time. And as Mr. Schieber mentioned, that is exactly what I am endeavoring to do. So if Rob can do it, and I know Rob doesn't have any team, of course, we all are aware of the leverage involved with networking and the network side of our business, and we could certainly all wish we could duplicate our own efforts over and over and over again in the B2B arena. I will say that I've endeavored to do that, and it is hard to find people that are motivated enough on a consistent basis to go through and be professional enough to deal with business owners on their time, and I'll start getting to some of that. So the first thing, one of the challenges I've had, as I said, is getting through the initial contact. A year ago, I was asked to speak on this same call, in fact, in May, and I talked about the value of associations. I won't repeat that entire presentation, of course, but I'll start with a quote. Morihei Ueshiba is the founder of the Japanese martial art Aikido, and he said, a good stance and posture reflect a proper state of mind. So my question for you all tonight is, when you are attempting contact with a group, a business owner, in order to get a group, whether it is you market a business plan in order to get the group, or whether you market the group to get the business plan, you know, that everybody has their own way of doing that. And, you know, I'm not here to tell you which way is right, but you want to find out what works for you. Getting back to the quote, though, what is your stance? When you deal with a business owner, whether it be approaching them from a standpoint of a group or trying to market a business plan with then getting into a enrollment for the employees, your stance, your posture, is what will get you there. So what state of mind are you in when you're, if you're addressing the business owner on the other line of that phone? Are you going for no? Or are you spent and are you desperate? Are you in a rumpled suit or are you dressed for success? And last time I talked, I kind of threw out a little experiment. I'm going to do the same this time around. Try dressing in your robe, your boxers, or whatever you're comfortable with, and making 10 calls. And then try dressing in your finest suit. Which do you think is going to get you better results? What state of mind are you in? Personally, I've always been told to dress for the job I want, not the job I have. This sounds kind of silly, but when I was flight instructing, I would walk around town in my uniform, my airline uniform. And to be an airline pilot, you know, you have to be 23 years of age. 22 and a half years, I was walking around town in my airline uniform. And at 23 years old, I was an airline captain, actually. So I was dressing for the job that I wanted. I was in that state of mind. That was my singular focus, was getting to that point. And I got there, exactly what I wanted to be. So getting into that state of mind, it's important when you deal with business owners and or their ancillary employees. It's because you may not be dealing with the owner, the impression you make to their underlings, whether it be to an HR person, to the gatekeeper, to the technician, whoever it is that's going to get you that introduction, your posture is vital to getting you there. One of the ways that my mentor and many of the people I'm sure on this phone call get through the gatekeepers by association. Personally, I'm not real active in this association group anymore, but BNI, Business Networks International, is a great way to meet people. Business owners, small business owners to medium-sized business owners, it's a great place to go and network. Networking is an entire discussion on its own, but Let's take it down to just the common level. For those of you that exercise your right to bear firearms, you might be part of a gun club. Is that an association? Could you meet a business owner there? How about real estate investor groups? I'm part of a group called Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. So any type of hobby or association you may have, use it. Meet people. That's what this is about. Trade shows, even if you just go as an attendee, trade shows are pretty expensive. I know Mr. Best does a lot of those, and some of them cost as much as $1,000 a year. Another one of my mentors, Ms. Deanna Bell, I know does a lot of trade shows, and she's at Platinum. She has no shortage of leads from being at a trade show. So again, whether you're an attendee or whether you actually choose to work with Legal Shield, a trade show arm, which I think they will actually provide the equipment for a fee, that's a great way to generate leads and a great way to meet business owners face-to-face. Once you're talking to the business owner, it's a lot easier to get through the gatekeeper and get an appointment in the future. So the next thing I'll talk about is bringing value to the business owner without expecting anything in return. There's a great book I want to recommend to all of you that I recommended last year. It's called Endless Referrals. A gentleman by the name of Bob Berg said that referrals are inventory. Our services are commodity. People I have easy access to, and because I have quality relationships with them, those are my inventory. Those connections are my inventory. If I don't have an inventory, I don't have a business. So when I make those calls on the initial contact, if I'm in that state of mind where my posture is poor and I'm desperate, every no I get is potentially another dent to my posture, another wrinkle in my suit. So posture is a key foundation of growth in the business. If you can offer value in what you do by giving a referral without expecting anything in return, it's going to be a lot easier to build that quality relationship moving forward. The amount of posture I have is directly in proportion to the amount of quality of contacts I have on my list. So when it comes to the initial contact, follow up when I do refer a customer, a link, a lead to someone that I would prefer to have a business relationship with. So I'm bettering their business by whatever interaction I have, I need to follow up and make sure that my referral did a good job. So rather than expect anything in return, next time I see them at a networking meeting or just out in the community or if I happen to email them, I'll ask, hey, did Joe Smith do a good job replacing your furnace last week? And I know you mentioned to me that you needed something like that. I want to make sure that the quality of referral I give as part of that initial contact is a good one. Obviously, I want it to be a good impression. I want to be remembered for giving that good referral. Lastly, when it comes to making initial contact, I know Legal Shield's done a great job of marketing the Go Walker community. They refer to it as GWC. Mr. Schieber actually gave several really good examples of how he's done this in his own life. You know, I think he was looking for a dry cleaner or maybe it was car insurance. I can't remember the specifics of what he was looking for. But when it came time to do business with that individual, if that individual wasn't willing to spend some time over coffee discussing Legal Shield or identity theft protection, how many insurance salesmen, dry cleaners, you know, those kinds of service people that we all have to deal with, how many of those are there on any given block? Would you like to do business with one that would eventually do business with you based on your relationship first, quality of an individual person is, or if they just shut you down and they're not even willing to engage with you in conversation, not necessarily right off the bat about business, and if they're not an approachable person, is that somebody that you would want to go and do an enrollment with anyway? So when it comes to walking community, really focus on making contacts with people that you know, like, and trust, because they will know, like, and trust you by virtue of your relationship. So the next thing is I want to talk about is follow-up individually. after you've made the contact, we've all heard the cliche, you know, strike when the iron's hot. It's kind of funny. Dr. Phil, definitely not one of my mentors. Believe me, I do not spend any time watching his shows. No time for that. But he did say something that was kind of funny the other day. I was reading just in a magazine, the Success magazine. So the biggest mistake men make is not following up sooner. They seem to think that calling too soon with a follow-up indicates desperation. As we live in a time where instant gratification overrides many of our decisions, so the longer we wait, the more chances we're allowing her, in this case, to get distracted by someone else. So when you think about this, I know that's in a relationship context, but how many sales calls or random people stopping by does a business owner get on any given 24-hour period? I think the number would boggle your mind. That's why a lot of these people are so hard to approach. But if you go back to my previous discussion about the initial contact, if you build that relationship through networking, through trade associations, through trade shows, it makes it a lot easier because they're going to remember who you are. So when you do come back, they're much more willing to spend some time with you. It may take more than one touch. But getting in quickly and following up quickly is key. I know that it can be challenging, and speaking from personal experience, when I went and have done trade shows in my past, you know, I might get 30 to 40 leads. Well, with my schedule, it's really hard for me to make during business hours 30 to 40 calls in a one-day period. And then if I get busy or I'm in Europe or South America, wherever I happen to be at the time, that list gets colder and colder and colder by the day. So if you're going to follow up, here's another quote to think about. Not following up with your prospects is the same as filling up your bathtub without first putting in the stopper in the drain. That was Michelle Moore, maybe another Moore relative, I don't know. But she's the author of Selling Simplified. So our capital, our inventory, that is those are those names, those are those contacts that we've worked hard and in many cases paid to receive. If you're not going to put the stopper in the drain, don't waste your time. Don't waste their time. Get organized about your follow-up. And there's a lot of different ways about doing this. You know, again, I said, you want to strike when the iron's hot, do it quickly. I know that if I didn't ask my wife for a second date, she might have been scooped up by someone else. So she's a sweetheart, and she's definitely too good for me. But following up quickly made that relationship work for me. And it's the same for any of our business relationships. A lot of things that I have done personally to make sure that my follow-up is organized. I use an Excel file. I break it down by company name, the date I contacted them, and when I need to contact them again. And obviously, when I need to contact them again is the very first field. So if I know I have 3 or 4 hours on a Monday afternoon to work, I'm pulling up my Monday afternoon follow-up list. A very simple way to do it. Doesn't cost a lot of money. Most of us have, you know, for those of you that are PC people, have the Word or the Office Suite on your computer. It makes it really easy to do. Other people I know use 3x5 cards and put them in a card file and just put it in the date. Whatever works for you. Or if you want to get super fancy and techie, you can use one of those CMS, customer management, you know, Salesforce, whatever it might be. But do what works for you. Don't get too complicated with the details. And then also, when I'm initially making that contact, I'm already planning my follow-up. Every person I talk to, in a business sense, or even a personal sense if I can, if I'm not able to engage them at the time, and a lot of times I'm not, I'll ask, is it okay with you if I call you next week on such and such a day or time? Are mornings or evenings better for you? I know you're probably like me when it comes to playing phone tag. You hate it as much as I do, especially if it's something important like this. That's something I always say, and it's worked really, really well because I call back, and then when I call back, if I'm given the gatekeeper, I say, hey, I'm just following up with Bob. He asked me to call at 3 o'clock this afternoon based on our conversation last week. I had an important employee benefit matter I needed to discuss with him, and I get right through. I mean, I'd say probably 1 out of 10 calls, the gatekeeper shuts me down, but when I reference a previous conversation and I use the first name, it works really, really well. Knowing the best time of the day to call will definitely help, and that's why I say that right off the bat. follow us in person are always best. I've done this lots of times, especially in my local area in Idaho with a few of the trade associations I'm part of. I may make a call and the business owner may be too busy to speak with me and say, hey, try me next week or next month or next quarter, whatever the reason is. I'm not going to bust that. If that's when he or she tells me to call, that's when I'm going to call. But it's better to do it in person or even in the interim. Let's say over the course of that, and I'll just give an example, one of the business owners I went to was an avid Boise Broncos fan, and Boise Broncos had just won the championship again. Go Broncos! And now we've got the blue field, but hey, guys, just deal with it. Anyway, I knew they had just won. I knew he was an avid fan, so I dropped by a Legal Shield mug full of blue and orange Skittles, those kind of little treats and stuff in there, and a little note saying, go Broncos. You know, Kellen Moore was the quarterback at the time, and I said, Kellen's awesome. And he remembered that, and I actually got a call the following day thanking me for the gift, and it led to an appointment, which ultimately led to a group. So if I can follow it in between initial contact with a personal stop by, if it's in your local area, that's much better. That's the way I like to do things, especially in Idaho, where I'm sure in Ada and a lot of areas of the country, there's still a lot of people that prefer to do business face-to-face. But if you are not, when it comes to the follow-up, and again, one of my mentors, Mr. Bell, who's on the line with us, is an expert, an absolute expert at doing decision-maker webinars. Again, a lot of these business owners receive so many requests for their time on a daily basis, there's just no way they can get to everything. But if you can schedule a very quick 15-minute webinar, I think that's, I've listened to Deanne do her work, and it's amazing. She's able to concisely create a short presentation that hits on all the hot buttons for the business owner. She can schedule that presentation. Hey, you know, I'm too busy to talk with you right now. Again, when we talk about posture, I'm wearing the suit. I've got the posture, not only in physical appearance, but in mental appearance. I'm too busy to talk with you right now, but I really have something I need to share with you. How about we set up a quick webinar? I know you're probably going to be too busy to have me in your office next Tuesday. I happen to have some time between 4 and 4:30. Will that work for you? How about we do it 4:10 to 4:20? Does that sound good? All right, done. The net meeting invite will come. Just click on the link, and I'll have all the information there you need. That's how to get it done. Posture, 10 minutes, in and out, done. And from that point forward, now you have the decision maker. You have the person that you need to have that's in charge of all the underlings, setting the enrollment date. The gatekeeper doesn't really want you on the phone. The HR person certainly doesn't want you on the phone, because in a lot of cases, these payroll people are often HR people as well. And when you set up another elective benefit, is that more or less work for them? I can tell you I've run into that wall more than a few times. I've literally not been able to get through to the decision maker, but I've talked to the HR person. And man, have I had to sweeten them up before they were willing to grease the wheels enough to get me in the door. So that's who you need to go with. When you make that step, if you can network, get to the right person, schedule a webinar, you don't have to sit in front of the business owner and expect 30 minutes of their time. That's a great way to move things to the next step. Lastly, when it comes to the finish line, I know he wasn't necessarily any one of us on the call's mentors, but Richard Nixon, former president, said, defeat doesn't finish a man. Quit does. A man is not finished when he's defeated. He's finished when he quits. So when it comes to actually moving on to the enrollment, that's our finish line. And even there, it's a finish line that's constantly moving, because what happens year after year? Another open enrollment. I can't tell you how many groups, I'm sure many of us on the line can share this commonality, that an enrollment generates profits again and again and again and again, because especially if you're in with the HR people, as soon as they have a new employee, you may not even have to be on site and they'll send you the application. Or if it's an electronic enrollment, it just shows up and you don't even know where it came from. So this is a great way to move on to the next step and keep them coming. Don't quit. Just keep moving. If it takes a year to get the group going, if it takes 2 years to get the group going, once the business cycle is known, offer an enrollment nearest to their benefits enrollment period if you can. Now, I know a lot of bigger companies in particular have an open enrollment where they'll have numerous people come in at one time. The smaller groups, maybe not as much. It might be an evergreen thing. But know their business cycle. For example, Mr. Vest works a lot with HR or HVAC, heating, ventilating, air conditioning. Obviously, going in the summertime, especially in the Deep South, not a good time to set up an enrollment. Maybe wait for the fall. Offer to set up a breakfast or lunch as part of an addendum to their existing team meeting. As a business owner, they have to pay their employees for every minute on the clock. Is it easier for me to tag on to one of their existing training or safety meetings, or is it easier for me to demand 30 minutes of time to do a dedicated Legal Shield enrollment? Okay, I'll take what I can get. I'm going to plan for 30 minutes. I'll ask for 30 minutes, but I'm going to plan for 15 minutes or less. But if I can get in and do the exposure when they already have a training or safety meeting planned, then great. If I can't get a full 30 minutes in, has the material been presented? Will I be invited back? You betcha. So that's really one of the best ways to get the steps moving back towards to the finish line, getting the enrollment done. That's really, I know I've talked already for over 20 minutes, and I guess I'll open it up to any questions you may have.
All right, Aaron, this is Randy. Great job. Let me just go to a few of our, we'll get a few Millionaire Club members and ring earners on here. Let's just go out to the state of Alabama and to Millionaire Club member Mr. Jimmy Parrish. Jimmy, are you on? Do you have a question or comment for Mr. Krebs?
I am on. Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Aaron, great job. Always enjoy hearing your training. It's just to the point, concise, and I just really want to make a comment. I know you've done an exceptional job being able to build your business like you're doing it part-time, but you were mentioning that resource, and you mentioned it last year, Endless Referrals by Bob Berg. Just want to make that comment that for those that don't realize that, he's one of our guest speakers in Salt Lake City at the Leaders at All Levels Conference in October. And I'm looking forward to hearing him very much talk about that and some of his other publications. But you're right, that is an excellent resource. And if you put into practice what he writes in his book, and I'm sure what he's going to share with us in October in Salt Lake City, it will help tremendously for all of us who are just worried about running out of referrals and groups to call on. So great job tonight. I'll leave it up for somebody else to make another comment. Thanks so much, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right, Jimmy, appreciate that. And I'm going to take a chance here. She's not in speaker mode, but I'm going to open up the line, and that is Miss Deanne DeBell. I know you mentioned her a couple of times during your talk there. So, Deanne, are you on the call? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to open up the line. If you got a question or comment, go right ahead.
Well, amazing job, Aaron. Oh, my goodness. And Aaron and I are workout partners, so I know what his schedule is like. So question for you, Aaron. How do you, in your busy, busy schedule, squeeze in your Legal Shield business as well? How do you keep track of your calendar and all the things that you have going in your life?
That's a great question, Deanne. And, you know, I've learned a lot from you in our time together as workout partners, so I'm very grateful for your time and your counsel to me as we've been working together for the years. And I think it's been a great back and forth relationship where hopefully we've been able to offer each other good things in turn. In answer to the question, I treat my business just like with every bit of respect as I do my job. So if I know that I'm flying from Chicago to Orlando and I've got a 3-hour layover while the boss is in a meeting, 2.5 or 2 hours out of that 3, I'm in my office. I make specific time where I close off the doors, I eliminate all of the distractions, I put my posture, my best suit on, my uniform on, I go somewhere where I can be quiet and focused, and I give myself a goal. I'm going to make 20 calls during this hour and get it done. I don't make excuses. Just get it done. And I try and fit my priorities in just like all of us on the team. Have our priorities straight. So time with my wife always comes as a priority, but most of what I do in my business is when I'm on the road. Because when I'm home, my quality time is very limited. So best advice I can give to anybody listening is make sure that you follow the priorities, because if you don't have those in mind, nothing else will succeed. But that's how I do it. I treat it just as if I was sitting in an office and booking those hours, that period of time. Does it always happen? No. The boss can come back early from his meeting. And now I got to get in another mode. Got to be ready to fly the plane. But I do my best, and I'm consistent with the time that I do have. And I think that's why I've been able to be successful over the last 10 years of doing this.
Terrific. Well, I know you take your business very, very serious, and I've learned a ton from you. And I'm glad to hear that you keep your wife number one.
Yes. Great. Happy wife, happy life.
There's a lot of truth in that. Thank you, Deanne. We appreciate that. Aaron, you did an outstanding job. We appreciate your professionalism. We appreciate you being on the More Success team, and appreciate you stepping up tonight and doing the training. I just want to tell you once again, you did a great job, and thanks for everything that you do.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be with you this evening.
Well, thank you once again. I do want to go ahead and advise everyone that our next call will begin in 1 hour. Again, it is 1 hour newer than the last call that we had, and from now on, our More Success team call will be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, so make sure that the word gets out on that. We've had a few people that hadn't gotten the word, but we want to make sure we don't want them calling in. There not being a call because there is actually a call. But we're excited about tonight's special guest speaker, Mr. Rodriguez. You will really enjoy him tonight. And we'll go ahead and end the call with this. Let's keep God first, family second, and then Legal Shield. And like Mr. Kenmore always said, everything will work out just right. Good night, everyone.